Life Conversations Radio. Be the change you want to see.
Hi, I'm Mark Victor Hansen. I want you to be listening to Life Conversations. My friends are running it, and they do the best hosting in the planet. Enjoy the show.
Life Conversations, the radio show, is dedicated to empowering its listeners spiritually, emotionally, socially, and financially. The radio show provides the platform for the stimulation of thoughts, conversations, and ways of being that allow listeners to explore and examine what it is they believe and decide whether what they believe is keeping them stuck and disempowered or empowering them to live their best life.
Awakening in the flowering of the heart, everybody here melting into presence. Overflowing effervescence, rising in love. We are forgotten memory, dawn is breaking, waves are coming in, everybody here, standing in wonder, beneath the rain.
We are awakening. We are awakening. We're waking up. We're paying attention. We're being mindful. We're saying yes to life. Yes to growth. Yes to transformation. And yes to going deeper and bringing everyone with us. Mitan with David Pramal. This is on his CD. So she's joining him on his project. Sometimes he joins her on her project. Awakening, Mitan and Dave with David Pramal. To find out more about them, their website address is davapramalmitan.com. And if you thought that was just a mantra, it can be, if you want it to be. But I'll spell it to you. Deva, DevaPramalMitan.com. Beautiful couples who are committed to waking themselves up and being a shining example for all of us. Yes, that's what it's about. That's what today's show is about. So let's just welcome you right now. Good afternoon, good evening, good night, good morning, good day to you, wherever you may be at this moment in time. Thank you, thank you, thank you for tuning in to Life Conversations Radio, where change begins and you make a difference. You make a difference because you're awake. You make a difference because you exist. You make a difference because you claim, oh, I was looking at something. You came on this planet. Oh, my God, that was interesting. You came on this planet to make a difference. Wow, that was spooky. Thank you for being here. We welcome those of you on the chat line. Okay, I'm just not Mercury. I can't wait to see you go. Please get your act together and move the right direction. Those of you listening on the phone line, thank you very much. Those online, those of you listening to the archive, thank you, thank you, thank you. We appreciate you. We appreciate you. And thank you for being part of the world community. We need each other. It's just that simple. Yes, it's time for Ancestral Blueprints. And I am your host. I got my co-host here as well, Life Coach Ade and Lisa Iverson, author of Ancestral Blueprints, Revealing Invisible Truth in America's Soul. And I'm still hijacked by what just happened. I was talking and my eyes looked at something and I said the word, reclaim. Interesting, I don't understand. But let me bring on Lisa, and then Lisa will bring you on and do a quick announcement, and then go to Celeste, do a quick announcement, and continue the conversation. So I just want to hold your hand. I want you to hold my hands, Lisa, because all kind of stuff is going, hold my hands, hold my hands. How are you, Lisa?
I'm doing really well, and appreciate starting the conversation with really being reminded of how much we're all in it together, always, including in the conversation. So I look forward to our time together today.
Yeah, me too. It's going to be, as always. Yes. So I'm going to do a quick announcement, and we'll continue the conversation for the day, which is Reclaiming Family and Ancestry as a Source of Healing and Strength. And we welcome those of you that signed in that we can see. Lisa, it's nice to see you. Is it Tenny? I hope I'm pronouncing that right. We have Soul Communicators and Call for Infinity and Yvette Celeste is in the house. Thank you all. And those of you silent listeners disguised as guests, thank you all for being here. Thank you for tuning in. Let's go to Celeste. She is right here. Hey, Celeste, how are you?
I am here, wide awake in the snow. Hello, Life Coach today, and Lisa Iverson. How are you today?
In the snow? Wow, let me
unmute
you, Lisa. Yeah. Oh, I didn't know. Gosh, I'm glad we don't have snow. We have rain, but that's good enough. That's good enough for me.
Send the rain. Mm-hmm. Let me get to your quick announcements. I want to know, let the family know what's going on Life Conversations Radio Network and what they can expect on Ancestral Blueprints. You see, the show goes until 1:30, so if you want to contribute, you want to call 347-426-3346, and don't wait till the last minute. Can't hint to anybody who needed to hear that. So let me let you know what's going on with the Life Conversations Radio Network. We have amazing shows on the network. Be sure to join the Ask Life Coach Today radio show, Monday through Wednesday, 12 until 2 p.m. Eastern. Next week, Life Coach Today will have on Monique Russin and Donna DeLuca, helping you shift from being a victim to a victor. And then we have Dr. B. Serious joining us next week. Tune in also to Ambassa Safaro for the Play Experience on Thursday night, 6, 7 p.m. Eastern. And The Sounds of Soul with Ade Anifeloshe is on 12radio.com on Saturday nights at 9 p.m. Eastern. You don't want to miss that, and we will definitely be posting for that show. And there is The Celestial Show with Celeste Morgan on Sunday nights at 8 p.m. Eastern. Be sure to join me for fun with numerology and tarot. And since I'm not doing a celestial moment for today, let me just let you know that 8 is the number running today. It's ruled by Saturn, the planet of discipline and order, but it also shows up as strength or justice in tarot. So with gentle persistence, you get to reap what you sow. So choose wisely what you do today. And that wraps up your quick announcements with Celeste Warren.
Thank you. Well, what I'm going to do is move real slow. The great thing about the show, it does slow me down to really pay attention. So I'm in alignment with the energy of the day. Thank you, Celeste.
It's my pleasure.
Thank you. Let's bring on Lisa Iverson. And, I am wondering, I'm chatting, I don't know if Lisa Tenney isn't in the chat room, see what I put in there, but you and Lisa, one of our listeners, live in the same zip code, Lisa Iverson. But anyway, yes. And you have, well, your names, Lisa. But anyway, I don't know what's going on. I think I've been hijacked, and that's not always a bad thing. So, Lisa, welcome home. Welcome back for Ancestral Blueprints.
Thank you. And it's great to know Lisa is in the chat room as well. And happy to have people from my region where I live in the Northwest be with us for our time together today. And, I'm aware that you're there in Atlanta. There we have a good 3,000 miles between us, but just very clear that there's no separation in spirit, so that no matter where people are geographically for our conversation, we're all connected in the same place. Mm-hmm. For our time. Yeah. Mm. Very clear.
And of course, even if they're where they are, their location doesn't have a zip code. If the location is just 0000, because they're not on the human plane, they're not on the physical plane, right? We're still connected, because that's what the show is about. Yeah. Sometimes, that is more important. I am feeling led to read our description. How you feel about that, Lisa?
That'd be great. Thanks.
It's funny that, we ask that. If you don't mind, can I? For the most part, people are going to say yes. It's like you're going to tell me, no, don't read the description.
No. It's like, oh, no. Don't tell them what we're talking about.
Right. I guess it's a polite way as let people know, but we put it in the form of question. I'm going to read that, read the description. Is that okay with you, Lisa Iverson? Oh, sometimes we humans are just comical. But anyway, let me read the description. Ancestral Blueprints is every last Wednesday of the month. And so Lisa joins us. The show, as Les said earlier, ends at 1:30. And so Eastern, that is. So if you have any questions, comments, thoughts, doubts, 347-426-3346. The topic for today is reclaiming family and ancestry as a source of healing and strength. And the description goes as, we are blessed in today's world with an abundance of teaching and resources in the fields of spirituality and healing. What resource and source of learning most often goes unacknowledged? Students, think about it. Well, parents, siblings, family ancestors. Sometimes we try and get away from them. That's me ad-libbing now. Let me continue. Learn how the field of your family and ancestry provide grounding and humility for fully accessing spiritual and energetic strength for living a full, supported life. That's what today is about, to support you in living and accessing spiritual and energetic strength so that you may live a full life, grounded and connected with the ones that are in the flesh and the ones who are in the body of spirit. So, Lisa, I'm just going to throw it over to you. I don't even want to start with a question today. What's going on? What's bubbling? Well, that's a question. What's bubbling up for you? That's a question, I guess.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you for reading the description. I think the place I'd like to start is how this particular description of our conversation today came to me. I was in a conversation with a couple of friends in the last week, and it just jumped out at me again. We were talking about the fact that there are all these tremendous resources available to us, so many good teachers from so many different fields. We know we have available to us just an amazing number of approaches to living a mindful life, to accessing wisdom in the body, in the soul, all this kind of language that has to do with wisdom and healing and body, mind, spirit, these kinds of phrases. And the teachings show up through individual teachers, they show up in books, they show up in conferences, they show up in radio shows like the one that we're having now, they show up in all different ways that are familiar to us. And it just struck me once again in this conversation a few days ago that the missing piece almost always is family.
Mm-hmm.
Family is not considered a source of resource and teaching in relationship with all the words and all the phrases that I just used.
Mm-hmm.
So wisdom, healing, mind, body, spirit, mindfulness, the word and the language around family is most often absent when it comes to these words and these phrases that I'm talking about. And it's a very different, part of why it jumps out at me is that the world that I live in my personal life and in my work life, I'm steeped in this world of the tremendous resource of family and of ancestry and of our parents and our siblings and the irreplaceable resource that map provides. And so, you know, we're blessed with this forum that we have available to us that you provide a day, and Celeste and Yvette and others, you know, with this radio conversation. And so I'm with it in you and with others too, going with the flow of what wants to be seen, what wants to be made visible. That's the place that I want to start, is with all that I just said, and I just want to check with you how that lands, how that resonates with you.
It's landing and it's bubbling, and I'm just like, oh, God. Well, let me say this. When in our communication yesterday, just reading what we're talking, well, knowing what we were going to talk about today, there was a inner recognition. And actually what it also brought to light for me, and I'm seeing it now, it's like, you know, when you sometimes people say, well, I have a nagging question. It was a thought, an idea, a feeling that's been nagging me, but it was just in the back of my mind. And as I was reading the description yesterday, it just kind of brought it to the forefront. And the same thing as you're talking now. And I think everything you said, I totally agree. I see it. I see it. I see. I mean, it's almost like, you know, we talk, I'm generalizing now, but when we put all the wisdom, the teachings together, everything from wherever we're getting it from, it's almost like what we want is in the future. It's like something that's yet to come, so we affirm, we pray for it to happen. And this conversation for me is a reminder that the healing, the strength, the peace, all of it, abundance, the groundedness that we're looking for, feeling like we belong, it's in the now. And so when we talk about family members, which tend to be, for most of us, if not all of us, I know for me, tend to be one of our greatest teachers. But there is somehow on a collective consciousness, a need, a desire, a programming to get away from that, to find another way away from family. Just, I hear people saying, well, my family are crazy. I don't have my crazy. I found that family are much more than blood, and it's best to have people who care about you. But we do tend to think family and, of course, ancestors don't exist unless, well, for the most part, we focus on the ancestors that we consider to be enlightened teachers and trying to repeat what they did or live a life based on a quote that they shared with us or how we were told they lived their life. Because, you know, we just go, whoever the teacher is, Buddha, Jesus, Lao Tzu, you name it. Humans have a way of highlighting the best. Because, Jesus probably had some day and he just thought, I don't want to deal with you. Maybe, maybe not. We'll never know. But I think as a human being, he had the human experiences. So, and I'm trying to get away from the word. This word came up earlier when you asked me how is what you're saying landing. But it keeps coming up. So I would say struggle. There's a struggle for me sometimes when I look at what is happening and trying to see where's the middle ground where we honor our family, we honor our brothers and sisters, and I'm talking about biological brothers and sisters now, we honor our ancestors and not be confused and not confuse it with looking at the past or focus on the negative. And the solution sometimes comes for me when I look in the indigenous wisdom. The Western spirituality, it's more of, don't worry about your past, doesn't matter, it's just you, generally speaking. Although teachers teach that. Some of them are a little bit more, they go deep. But it's something that I've been working with, especially as someone who's teaching ways to connect with self and others and family. So it's like finding the balance. So I'm really grateful we're having this conversation and just be able to receive the wisdom that's waiting for us to embrace and be able to maybe even energetically, as listeners, collectively support each other to be able to make room for a deeper harmonious relationship with our mothers, with our fathers, with our brothers and sisters, stepfather, stepmother, people in our lives that we've run from that we don't want to talk to, or maybe we don't even know who they are because we're given up for adoption. So a little of what's bubbling up for me.
Yeah, thank you. And it points to the irreplaceable is the word that comes to me again, the irreplaceable strength that comes from knowing where we belong in our families. Mm-hmm. And so I see it every day in my work and in my life, the strength for living a good life, a full life, the life that belongs to each of us, not the life that was lived by somebody else, who's right. not the life that belongs to somebody else to live, but our own lives. You know, that's the piece that the method that I work with quite a lot, the family constellation approach, systemic constellation approach, it provides a way for us to see quite immediately in that format how much we can be entangled with people from family blueprints that we don't, our minds can't understand how much we're wrapped up in their fates. So the connectedness that's very alive in the family blueprint, I see it every day. And so the Western Americanized especially focus on the individual and how separate we are and how unique we are. We are all individuals, it's true. We are unique, that's true too, but we're not as special as we tell ourselves that we are. You know, there's a way in which there's a subtle kind of a narcissism in a lot of our Western spiritual, mindful, focused healing resources, that if we're not careful, that's the piece that the teaching and disconnection from family can, and I think is in some way promotes a little bit of a narcissism, a little bit of, you know, and I'm not thinking of any particular teacher or any particular anything. I'm just saying that, you know, for us to not recognize when we speak about connectedness and we speak about oneness, for us to leave family out of that equation, something's out of balance. We cannot talk about how connected we are all with each other without and have family be invisible.
Insanity, right? We're connected. We're one. We're one family. We've got to love one another. But don't talk to your mother because she's crazy. She's a Christian. She don't understand what you're talking about. Don't talk to your father. He's Muslim or he's, yes, yes. They practice traditional medicine. Don't do that. But we're connected.
Right. Right. So there's a way in which, for me, I'm really interested in the integration. It's phenomenally, you know, I think for us to consider the really phenomenal things we can do as a species in a true spirit of healing and creativity and productivity for future generations, for us to integrate all that we know about mindfulness, spirituality, healing, mind-body resources, all these different things, in connection with family, what happens if we put all of that together? You know, what would that look like? That's the piece I feel tremendously blessed that in my everyday life I get to be in that field of putting all that, being with all of those things together in the same place, and to see what happens in people's lives when they really come into more clarity, their place as a son or as a daughter, as a granddaughter, a grandson, to be able to have experiences in groups or in one-on-one sessions, and then it gets carried over into their lives. It gets lived out in their lives, this clarity about belonging and this clarity about true connectedness within the family unit, within one's ancestral blueprints. It's astounding what happens in people's lives. The source of strength and really creativity and flow that I see happening in people's lives when they have that experience.
You know, what comes up for me is I just had this image, this idea. As, I mean, some people will say, I got a great relationship with my family. Without them, you know, I'm great. And some people say, oh, no. I stay well away from my family because they're just too much. I just had this image. Imagine if we all, and that, the all could be whatever you want to consider all to be, we all get an opportunity to spend a month or at least 3 months with our families. Like, not with their spiritual communities, not Facebook, but we spend just like on a retreat with our father, mothers, brothers, sisters, you know, aunt, uncles, the ones that are close, but just spend that 3 months sitting together in the retreat and talking and kind of just connecting. And as I saw that video, even for me, I felt a part of me go, whoo, that would be something. Because in that feeling for me, what I saw really is, our families, is it help is the word? I use that. They reflect us. They help us see ourselves. No BS. It doesn't matter if what they're saying about us we don't think is true, but it's more about how we're responding to what they're saying about us or what they're saying, period. So in that space, we get to see ourselves, how we relate with one another, and I was wondering, because Lisa, I want to hear your thoughts on this. I think I want to ask you a question, but I'm hearing your voice as the answer of some of the things you said on the show. As what we are experiencing now or created, is it out of the, because we didn't feel equipped enough to deal with the emotions that come up, so we create this sort of pseudo, maybe that's a strong word, but some kind of family, an extended family, because we all call ourselves family, and you know, through the radio show, on Facebook, or people come on my Facebook family, but there's a sort of disconnection to the biological family. Is that because somehow it's too much to deal with, and it's safer to just connect with the rest of the world? We're all connected, but not really deal with the immediate. And I'm trying to form the question. I hope you can hear this spirit, because I see what I'm trying to say, just looking for the words. Go ahead.
There's a drive. You're checking. The essence is it does come back to belonging. There's a drive to belong, and the drive to experience belonging within one's family is our first need. So when we come into the world, you know, our drive to experience belonging, there's two ways in which that need shows up. One is the kind of belonging that as a baby we have with our mothers or whoever that first person is. Hopefully it's our mom. If it's not our mom, it's a caregiver who we bond with, where there's an experience of connecting and attaching to that person who's, you know, our survival as a baby depends on that person. So that's the first way that belonging happens. But the second way that it happens is belonging in the group. Our species, we have a need to experience belonging in group. And family is the first group we belong to. And a lot of the times, this is not a new thing, many, many things happen in the human experience that can interrupt or disrupt the experience of belonging in either of those kinds that of belonging I've just described. In terms of the group experience, that's the field that we're particularly talking about today. And so in this part of the world in the United States, the experience of belonging in family group has been there's been a high state of disconnection with family in the family experience from before the beginning of the creation of the the country, you know. So we don't see how in the U.S. disconnection from family is really woven into the soul of the country. So the immigration experience was about leaving family. And families came from one part of the world to this part of the world. And, you know, together, siblings came together, couples came together, families came together, but there was also this experience of leaving family. And you know, attempted genocide of Native people who were here first. That's all about disruption of family. The slavery experience, that's about a profound disruption of family. So these, you know, it's important to see how resilient we are, you know. There's a resiliency, there's a strength that's carried through, and at the same time, the echoes of that disruption and disconnection are, we're still living with, we're in resonance with. We're in resonance with, there have been consequences. We're living today, in 2014, we're living with some consequences of our larger history. That for me, the gift of seeing that, there are many gifts in seeing that. Again, it points back to that, how much we need each other. You know, this is not an individual thing. Most people in the U.S., they walk around with a consciousness thinking it's all me. It's all about the individual. And we, you know, we truly are deeply connected with each other as a species. And also, with all of the facts of disruption and disconnection in the family experience, in the soul, the connection is there. So how it is we're able to access that, I mean, for me, that's the field of my work that I am so blessed to be in, to experience being with people in the unfolding of that reconnection, being with people where they get to have truly embodied, experiential, soulful experiences of this kind of a reconnection with the people they come from, with their parents or grandparents or great-grandparents, people they never met, but the connection with those ancestors, it's in the body. It's in the soul. It's in our cellular memory. It's in our DNA. Whatever language you want to relate to, from your left or your right brain, it's all there. And so it all coexists at the same time. The histories that have been difficult and the strength and the reconnection and the blessing that's there. But we can't separate them. And that's the piece that I think in so many resources that have to do with, you know, mindfulness, spirituality, or mind-body connectedness resources, there is an undercurrent of still trying to get away from family.
And, you know, and the get what comes up for me in the getting away from family, which is usually the disruption and the disconnection is the catalyst for that. And I, as you were talking, I was thinking, you know, the disruption and the disconnection caused pain, trauma, hurt, aloneness, and, you know, not feeling accepted. So we naturally kind of move in a place where we can feel accepted even with all of our stuff, and sometimes we can be part of another community because we are somewhat all, everybody holding on the light but not really want to look at the shadow self. And I kind of see this, it's like, how do we, and it's a redundant question, but it's actually an important question, because I love the book, Debbie Ford's book, The Dark Side of the Light Chasers, because it speaks to this running to enlightenment and being free and being abundant and never have to feel fear again. And in a way, really, it's like we under the guise of oneness, we're encouraging separatism because we're saying the part of you that hurts, the part of you that you call dark, negative, don't touch that. Leave it alone. Just focus on the light. But the more you focus on the light, the more you're going to see about yourself. And how do we create space for ourselves to be with the pain, with the hurt, with the feeling alone? And it's interesting. We have families, but we still feel alone. You know, we feel disconnected. So that actually can bring us back to really knowing in our own bodies true connection. If we can be with the aloneness, if we, you know, we live in a different country and our parents in another country or brothers and sisters, or we're all over the place, being able to have real, real connection. I find that I write for Hillside Daily Thoughts. And sometimes part of my struggle is I feel led to include some of these things that we're talking about, that the pain, that the hurt, but the magazine, the Daily Devotional book, is more about moving people to recognizing who they are. So I really, it's like sometimes a very fine balance without having people read something in the morning to uplift them, and they're going, oh, my God, so my life sucks. Is this what I'm reading? But it's like, so I always find myself, how do I balance looking at what wants to be healed with what is true and what is true about us without getting people to start their day off feeling heavy? What's the balance? How do we do it? How do we talk about the disruptions and the disconnection and with the need to belong and still help people feel that they can move forward rather than, oh, thanks. Now I got to deal with that. That's one more thing I got to do. Thank you for your inspiration.
Well, when we become clear about whose burdens belong to whom and whose suffering belongs to whom in our own lineages.
Mm-hmm. That, can you explain what you mean there and say
what I see in my work a lot, the family constellation approach helps us experience and see how much there is an inclination as a son or a daughter, as a grandson, a granddaughter, as a great-grandson or as a great-granddaughter. There is a deep, deep inclination in the soul to try to carry the suffering or the burden that belongs to the previous generations. Hmm. And our minds can't understand it or see it, how deeply we're doing this. But there's a very, very consistent, I want to call it a drive. It's a deep impulse. It's a drive. It's love. I'm grateful to Bert Hellinger, his articulation of this movement, this inclination, as a kind of a blind love.
Mm-hmm.
This attempt to try to carry, again, burdens, sufferings that really, truly were experienced by others who came before us. We express this kind of a blind love, trying to carry that same burden, suffering, out of a blind love also as a deep way to try to have a sense of belonging
mm-hmm.
in our family group. So what I mean by that is whatever suffering or difficulty has been there, you know, we might be completely unknowingly, completely unconsciously trying to having some experience of suffering to try to keep our place in the family, meaning that if we stop doing that, we would feel like then we didn't belong.
Mm.
Like, how could it be that I could live freely when others didn't? That's gonna make me feel a kind of a guilt. So I better keep a kind of suffering going to maintain my feeling of belonging and membership in the group. So that's one way it shows up. The other way it shows up, and it's all in connection with each other, is maybe we had an ancestor, we had a family member, a parent, a grandparent, an aunt, an uncle, whole tribes of people in previous generations who had an experience of not belonging in some way, meaning they haven't been acknowledged, they had an experience of exclusion. Maybe it was because of who they were, maybe it was because of something they did, maybe it was because of both. But where what happens is we, again, in a very blind love kind of way, carry some part of that experience trying to get them made visible. So we become kind of identified with them in a way. Our souls try to carry really what belongs to them out of a blind love, try to get them made visible. So all these things that I'm describing are operating for all of us, absolutely every single one of us. None of us is immune because of our humanity.
Mm-hmm.
None of us are immune from this kind of an expression of love for our family. So your question, how do I have a meditation for the day that honors, you know, the complexity of all this? Mm-hmm. For me, the answer goes to this, how it is that we can nurture a sense of honesty, truthfulness, about whatever did happen in the generations before us, but in seeing that, seeing whatever that was that happened, seeing the people that had the experience, but also nurturing a gratitude that they were the ones who were the best ones to experience it, simply because they did. I mean, it's really simple. Our minds make it much, much more complicated.
Mm-hmm.
In all of our families, whatever people experienced, they were the ones, best ones to experience it because they did. You know, it's like it's a reality check. It's like, well,
yes.
that's it's about what is, and it's. That the challenge with that often is, you know, we don't want to see people we love in pain. How do we tolerate, you know, our minds, we want to tell us, oh, the other person can't handle it. They're not going to be able to, you know, so out of our love, you know, we want to relieve the other person of carrying whatever that challenge was or is. Well, a lot of the times, what's really important to see is we're doing that around events that took place 25, 50, 100, 200 years ago.
Oh.
Like the history is like it's over.
Right.
We might be, you know, we might be working really hard to help somebody out who's dead, and the situation has passed. Whatever the circumstance was is over, but we're working hard in our soul, in our psyche, in our lives to try to change history.
Yeah, don't say anything for a minute. Just let me just think. Ooh, that was heavy. Because I've got flooded with information. And, wow. I'm going to throw this out there as a teaser. Maybe we could talk more about that on the other side, because we got a caller. We got a question. But when you said we may be trying to work something out for somebody who's actually dead, I'm thinking of the African-American experience in this country. And we, even though we get intellectual about what is happening now, how many people are trying to work out the struggle of their ancestors, the pain they went through when they came over here? You know, the whole idea of lynching, of being shot, of being told to go to the back of the bus or back of the theater or not allowed, and, you know, all those things that we look back now that sometimes just too much, that just makes us go, oh, my God, we don't need to focus on that. And so from what you're saying, we are still living that out, and it's not just African-Americans, because we are connected. So if one person is trying to resolve something for somebody who's dead, then we're all doing it because we're connected. If you have a headache, you can't say, well, I've just put my head down so that the rest of my body can feel good. You're like, don't talk to me. I got a headache right now. Don't talk to me. Let me massage your toes. No, don't touch me. So it's like we're all – woo, okay. We got to – let's see. You're listening to Ancestral Blueprints with Lisa Iverson and Life Coach Ade. We are having a soul conversation. And if you're trying to understand this with your mind, woo, hey, I wish you luck. It could be too much. Just breathe. Just take it in and just know that you are here because your soul is ready. And you don't even have to have the answer. You don't even have to have the solution. But just hearing it, you're making a space for it. What Lisa's sharing with us just kind of puts another meaning to the truth will set you free. The truth will make you free. If you just tell the truth about what is, and that's the thing, sometimes we don't want to talk about the truth. Politicians, they have people who teach them how to speak and say the right words, and they get a public relations officer. You know, it's like, no, what really happened? The truth will set you free. Let's take a call. Yeah, I think we can take a call before we take a break. Well, let's see. You know what? Let me see. Lisa, what do you think? Do you think we should take the call now or do it after the break?
I'm good either way. I'm good either way.
Okay. Thanks for making it easy for me. Okay.
Sorry.
Okay. I'm just telling the truth. I'm not mad. I'm not upset. I was looking here. Give me something. I don't know what I'm feeling here. Okay, let's take a call. We're going to do that. We're going to go with the flow. Hey, Glenda, how are you doing?
Hi, Ajay. How are you? Hi, Lisa Iverson. How are you?
Good, nice to hear your voice.
Mm-hmm. I happened to tune in exactly, I guess, what I needed to hear. So it hit me very deeply. When you were talking about that there's, you know, someone in the family that may feel like they don't belong, and that's a connection to someone, you know, in previous generations who had that feeling, and I'm like, whoa, so could that be what it is, you know? And I have two things that happens. Well, I feel like I don't belong when I'm around the family. A lot of times I would feel suffocated or, you know, or there was a lot of verbal abuse coming my way. So, you know, I'd be close to them and feel like I don't belong. And I moved to Florida, and I have moments, exactly where you were talking about, where, you know, I'm in the sunshine, I'm feeling great, and, you know, there's some moments that come that say, but you you are by yourself away from them, you know. The guilt, like, so I then end up feeling guilty. I have these moments of feeling guilty of being away from the pain, away from the family. My question is, what can I do, or what, you know, to heal that? What affirmation, what you know, so that I'm just me, that I'm integrated, that I'm not carrying that.
I can...
What is that? Okay, that's weird. Okay. Okay, go ahead.
The new sound on the radio.
I can... The first thing that comes to me is just having a sense of millions of people, really, in resonance with what you just said. And so I just want to say that, that's the thing that first comes to me. How...
whatever. Okay, go ahead.
Yeah. We have the radio, the technology has an opinion, it sounds like.
Right, that's interesting.
Yeah.
You know, I'm thinking something, and I want to hear your thoughts, and Glenda, I have you muted. I think your ancestors are communicating, trying to get your attention, but we'll unmute you in a minute. And the thing about belonging and feeling alone, it's like we end up all feeling that loneliness, even going forth and creating a community of people who are lonely. You know, we create communities of, I mean, it could be the AA, because people are dealing with stuff. Now, there's a disconnection with family, but we find other family based on that sense of disconnection, disruption. And for me, I think we talked about the Western spirituality earlier. There's this, I think there's a mindset of sort of like a quick fix to the human experience. Yeah, let me put it that way. It seems like we're seeking a quick fix to a human experience. So with what Glenda is saying, even though she is away from them, because she said when she's with them, she feels suffocated. But when she's away from them, there are moments while she's in paradise, you know, but there are moments where she's feeling disconnected or feeling lonely, feeling like she's by herself. So as part of the healing, could it just be just recognizing what we're feeling without the need to think we have to do anything to change it or correct it?
Yeah, I think that's absolutely a piece of, it provides a lot of grounding to, you know, acknowledge what is. That's
right.
That's what you're saying is to be able to do that, it's easy to not do that. It's easy to try to get away from what is, including the what is of what's going on inside of it.
Mm-hmm.
Especially the case. So to be able to do exactly what you're doing, Glenda, to be able to say, okay, this is something that I notice. This is an experience I notice. The challenge for the mind loves a problem. And our minds are wired for analyzing and fixing and changing these kinds of things. So we sometimes often don't know what might come from our ability to simply slow down and do exactly what you're doing, saying, this is what I notice, this is what is, without trying to fix it, without trying to change it. And that's how in my work, that is the source of shifts that I see happen in people's lives, that when they're able to do that, that's the paradox. The paradox is that by acknowledging what is, then things can shift.
Mm-hmm.
But we don't realize how hard we're working, and really also how much we're expecting of ourselves that's not realistic, that keeps something going. It keeps an experience of struggle going. And so the other thing that comes to me is I, based on what you're saying, Glenda, it might be very supportive to read about the constellation work and also to find a seasoned facilitator in your area. I know I've got colleagues in the Florida area doing this work, and so I would encourage you to read about the constellation approach and to see if there's somebody in your geographic area to check this work out with, and that that if you need direction about that, feel free to, you know, email me, and I'm happy to give you names of folks in that area.
Okay. Thank you so much.
Yeah, you're so welcome.
So that brings some clarity to your question?
Yeah, it really does. Really, really. So I thank you so much. Like a grounding. So I know that's you know, I'm on my way. Thank
right.
you. Thank right. you very much.
Yes, okay. Thank you. And thank you for being a voice for many, because your experience is not just you. There are people who are listening who can relate. So you being that voice, everybody gets to experience the groundedness. Let's take a break, drink some water, speaking of groundedness. And when we come back, we're going to talk a little bit about family constellations, because that's something that we can never talk too much about. It's very important. There are ways for us to be with the pain, the hurt, and with our families, even though sometimes, as Glenda said, we may feel like, oh, my God, we're suffocated. But there are ways to be with them. There are things we can do to help the healing. So we're going to take a break. The number is 347-426-3346, 347-426-3346. You can also check out Lisa's website. Well, actually, she has two websites. There's the familyconstellationswest.com, familyconstellations with an S, familyconstellationswest.com. And you can go to lisaiverson.com, LISAIVERSEN.com. You can find out about Lisa's work, what she does. We're having this conversation, and there's a way to move through it, move with it rather than run from it. We are going to take a big break, and we'll be back.
Life Conversations Radio. Be the change you want to see.
Join Lisa Iverson and Life Coach Today for Ancestral Blueprints at 12 p.m. Eastern on the last Wednesday of the month. Learn how the unacknowledged truths in your ancestral blueprints may still be influencing your life today, and how to bring awareness to the truths that want to be acknowledged. Join Lisa Iverson and Life Coach Today, 12 p.m. Eastern, every last Wednesday of the month on LifeConversationsRadio.com.
Are you ready to come out to play? To passionately love and appreciate who you are? Join me, Mbasa Sophira, on the playground of life, the play experience, every Thursday, 7 p.m. Eastern, where we always serve a raw, delicious smorgasbord of healing the mind, the heart, and the soul into this spectacular circle of life. Are you ready? See you on the playground. Be there or be square. The Play Experience, 7 p.m. each Thursday, here on LifeConversationsRadio.com. I'm Celeste Morgan, host of The Celestial Show, and I want to invite each and every one of you to join me on Sunday nights at 8 p.m. Eastern to receive divine messages through tarot, numbers, and my intuition. Break out to the other side with laughter and information you can use to get the life you truly want to live. Remember, that's every Sunday at 8 p.m. Eastern on LifeConversationsRadio.com. I'll see you there.
This is Life Coach Ade, host of the Ask Life Coach Ade radio show on Life Conversations Radio. Well, you know, no matter how much you grow in consciousness, no matter how much you know, you are going to interact with other people. So what's the point of being spiritual and being enlightened without learning to get along with others? Well, that's what the show is about. On the show, I share tools and techniques and just inspire you to celebrate your relationships, to celebrate who you are, because together we make a difference. You know, we need each other. And when we unite together, we can make magic happen. We can shift our perception and create miracles in our lives. Join me every Monday, 12 p.m. Eastern on LifeConversationsRadio.com.
Life Conversations, committed to assisting you move from where you are to where you want to be. Have courage, make that move.
Life Conversations Radio.
Giving a voice back to the community. To the community. To the community. To the community. To the community.
That's right. Giving a voice back so we can claim our power. Claim the truth. Speak the truth. Not run from life. Understand that life is right here. All that we need is right here. Everyone around us, everyone we're connected to, are the spiritual teachers, divinely placed for our soul expansion and transformation. You are listening to Ancestral Blueprints with Lisa Iverson and yours truly, Life Coach Ade. Lisa Iverson is the author of Ancestral Blueprints, Revealing Invisible Truth in America's Soul. And today we are talking about how to reclaiming family and ancestry as source of healing and strength. The ones who came before us. And no matter what is going on, to use the information, the experience, the information to help us in feeling grounded, finding strength, knowing that we belong and we don't have to run away from in order to find ourselves with others. The number is 347-426-3346. I'm just going to throw it over to you, Lisa, because I have so much. I mean, I think part of what I'm feeling so much that I don't even have questions for it yet. It's like it's not even time to ask questions about it. So I wanted to talk about family constellations as a way to, if you will, practicalize this conversation, embody this conversation, or maybe create a provide people with tools on actually those who are ready to say, well, okay, this resonates with my soul. Now, how do I move forward? So maybe tell us about family constellations, or unless anything else you want to share. So, you know, we're co-hosting. I'm not attached.
No, thank you. I think that's a good thing to do, is to say a little bit more about the work, the constellation work. So family constellations or systemic constellations, it's an approach that was developed over 30 years ago in Germany by a man named Bert Hellinger. It was developed on the shoulders of other approaches that came before it. For me, the roots of it are also deeply indigenous wisdom. So this indigenous wisdom that knows that there is an effect that lives on for many generations. What happens in one generation has an effect for many generations after it, and that there's a connection from one generation to the next, that ancestors are real, that there's an influence and a connectedness between descendants and ancestors. Those principles that are in the indigenous field that belong to all of us that have really gotten lost in this part of the world, in the U.S., out of historical context, that field of wisdom is still here. So the approach is a very practical way that gives us access to that field of wisdom that's in us and that we're in. And so the constellation approach is primarily a group approach. It can be adapted for work in one-on-one sessions with a seasoned practitioner, seasoned facilitator. And it allows us to work with how a struggle or an issue that a person is having in their life today may be, that the roots of it may be in the generations before us, that the roots of it are often having to do with some unacknowledged truths in family life, in our ancestral blueprints, and that the process of simply acknowledging what is, we've used that phrase quite a lot today, acknowledging what is, acknowledging truth, in a way that is, for me, the field is, it's a ceremonial field. Not all facilitators necessarily see it that way, and that's fine. For me, it's the group space, it's a reclaiming of ceremonial space and sacred space for truth to be acknowledged. Not about blaming anybody. It's about making visible, again, how all the things that happen in family life, all the things that haven't happened, that everybody belongs. So it's another theme we've been with today around belonging, how deep this drive is for us all to know where we belong, for us to know that we do belong. Well, that drive, again, it's been with us from the beginning of time. And so the group experience allows us to make connection, see, experience connection, and experience restoration of belonging, restoration of flow, restoration of balance, restoration of order, where everybody belongs, parents and children, siblings and grandparents and partners, where everybody belongs in the map, and that those are the roots to provide good solution, good support for whatever the issues are, the things that our mind says are a problem in our life today. So it's a very, it's an approach that has, again, irreplaceable is it's another word that's with me a lot today. It provides an irreplaceable source of reconnection with family that that promotes groundedness, humility, belonging, and often release, resolution, shifting for sure of whatever the issue or the problem is in our lives. It's so often the case that whatever is difficult in our lives, it's in connection with something that our minds can't see and can't understand.
Yes. We're going to take a call. And as I listen, when you talk about what the mind can't understand, I just keep hearing the importance of indigenous wisdom, the ancient wisdom. We often hear people say, well, how our grandfathers used to do it. But really, I think, yeah, that's it. But it's more, for me, I feel like when people talk how they used to do it back in the day, it's that ancient wisdom that honored and acknowledged everything that makes us human. And I think currently, we have sort of, in some, generally speaking, we speak more to recreating something to get away from what makes us human. And the healing is looking at everything and know that it belongs so we may feel the completion because we're already complete. The truth will set you free. The truth will make you free, whatever way, whichever way you want to look at it. It's like going back to the beginning. In the beginning, everything was good. No matter what happened after that, everything is good. Let's take a call. And rather appropriate, we have a caller who goes by the name Soul Communicator. Let's hear what the soul has to share today. How are you doing, my sister?
I'm doing well, Ade. I'm doing very well. It's just a delight to hear Lisa speak on the matters of family and ancestry. And I just want to share my story because it has truly, truly been an experience for me. And it is one that has taken me back into the womb of my mother and asking the question, who was I before I became a slave? Or who was my ancestors before they became a slave? And as the likeness in the image of God, I had to say, well, I chose to be born in this lineage. I chose to be born in this lineage for whatever reason. And at the end of the day, it's all about honoring where I come from when it comes to my ancestors, when it comes to even my mother. I have to honor my mother and my father. I may not have understood the things that they have done or the choices they have made, even my grandparents. However, for whatever reason, I chose to be in that lineage. And because of that, I have great honor for my ancestors. And I speak to them on a day-to-day basis. They came into my life as imaginary friends, and then they graduated themselves into ancestors, ascended masters, if you will, and spiritual guides. So now I have a full committee that I speak to on a day-to-day basis. And, you know, it's a lovely experience. It's a lovely experience. And I would not give anything up for the world of it, you know. I would not. I cannot. It's my life. You know, it's my life. And I am the expression and the extension of who they are and who they were. And I will continue to carry that torch on because without them I cannot be and I will not be.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
What a blessing. What a blessing to be with you and your ancestors. Yeah.
Thank you, Soul Communicator. That is it right there. That is it right there. We all belong. Without them, there is no you, and you are because of them. And one of the things about this show for me, it always stirs so much. Sometimes I think I know I get so busy that this kind of awareness, I'm not always present to it, but this show has a way of bringing me back. It's like, I remember. Because I always say, I'm not interested in teaching intellectual spirituality where you're just focusing on one aspect or just the spiritual, the divinity of who we are, and we leave out the human experience. And sometimes the human experience is not pretty. You know, we can just take a look at history. And so this show is reminding me of the importance and the best word I got right now is a struggle in blending the two. You know, it's like a tightrope, not going too far into one, or sometimes go so far into, all is light, and then sometimes like, oh my God, I'm alone, where's my mom, where's my dad, my mom, you know, all the stories that come up. And I'm grateful for the work you do, Lisa. You were talking about family constellations. I know you facilitate that. And for listeners who may be hearing for the first time or who needs a reminder, you do work with people on the phone, right?
I do some work with people on the phone as well, yes. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So I look at my website, they can be in touch in any way. Mm-hmm.
Okay, before you go, I do, because last time you were here, you were getting ready to be part of a circle, which was Internalized Colonizer Series. How is that going? And because another one is coming up, right? At the beginning of the month, in March. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Can you give us some feedback, update, anything you want to share?
Yeah, thank you. It is great timing, this series that we're doing four Saturdays, the first Saturday of the month, February, March, April, May. So our next one is this Saturday. So the name of the series is An Embodied Conversation with the Internalized colonizer. So this series that takes place in the Seattle area has to do with making the connection between the larger landscape of colonialism and its influence and place in our own lives, and how those images of colonialism are with us as individuals and then in the groups that we're a part of today. And, of course, family woven into that experience. The first session that we had in February was a complete gift, and we had a lovely group of people. What I'm inclined to do is I can say a few things that people said that day about why they were there. If I could take a minute just to say a few things.
Sure.
Out of the mouth.
Sure.
They were there. So we asked at the end of the day, we asked the people who were there what they had to say about why they were there. Some of the things that they said, it was a great collection of things, but just a few things. Why they were there, to receive support from the ones who came before us, to face what is with compassion and love, to acknowledge theft, to acknowledge privilege, to acknowledge suffering and harm done, and to give gratitude and to commit to healing for all, to identify other ways of living in the world, to find out who I am, where I come from, so I can be in right relationship with the earth and other peoples. Those are just a few things people said.
Mm-hmm.
We asked the question, what are your hopes and your dreams and your prayers for our children and for future generations regarding work around colonization and our work around colonial legacies? So hopes and dreams for future generations. To better, people said things. They said to better understand generational trauma and better understand learned and taught and forced qualities of colonialism, to hope that future generations will be able to acknowledge truth more readily than this generation and know how to give back, not theirs to carry. That future generations will know that we belong to each other. I could say a lot more, but those are just a few things. So there's quite a collection. What we're doing with this series, where people want to learn more, the information is also on everything I just said and more is also on my website, Family Constellations West, and people can learn more about this series. And maybe given the timing of this show, that we do this show, this radio show, the end of the month, give a little, you know, right as we go along here, that would be a blessing too.
Yes. Thank you, Lisa. Thank you, listeners, for being part of this healing circle. And as we, even if it's consciously or unconsciously, we are unconsciously came together to support each other, to embrace what is and acknowledge what is and understand that we are all growing through it together. We need each other. And I always say, let's just join heart to heart, soul to soul. That what we're looking for is right here. We are it. We are the answer. And I'm grateful. It's funny, because of how much I think and how deep I go, I don't know if I can do ancestral blueprints every day. I think I'll be a mess. Because I go so deep that I need a month before we have another conversation. Because I really am just so full. And it's activating the things that how I've looked at the world and trying to balance. I said that earlier. And, I just leave it as that. But I am grateful for your wisdom, Lisa, and your compassion
your gentleness to take people through this journey, because it's not always easy, but you have a way of walking with people who haven't been in the family constellation circle. You have a way of walking with the participants so they may embrace what is. And even if they're crying, it's not as coming out, they could still be with it. So I am so honored to know you, to have you in my life, and I thank you so much for the work you're doing.
Well, you're welcome. I'm grateful for our conversation with each other and all the ones who are with us live and listening in the archives. And thank you for reminding all of us that we all belong, and looking forward to our next time.
Thank you, Lisa. See you next month.
Sounds good. Thanks, Ade.
You're welcome. Life is good. It's get it. All right, Carly. Wait a minute. I know you to go. Life is good. It's getting better. We love you. We bless you. We appreciate you. We thank God for you. We are going to release the show with Carly Jackson. Join me on Saturday, 9 p.m. Eastern on 12radio.com for The Sounds of Soul. It's a musical soul journey. And make sure you join Ambassador tomorrow, Thursday, 7 p.m. Eastern for The Play Experience, and Celeste on Sunday, 8 p.m. Eastern. We're out of here. Check out Lisa's website, Family Constellations West. This is Carly Jackson. We are one. We are one indeed, and we all belong. Peace and blessings.
I know now that we are one. When I'm hurting you, I am hurting me. When I'm loving you, I am loving me. I know now that we are one. 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 There is no separation. We are one. When I'm charging you,
Life Conversations Radio. Be the change you want to see.